The Cap'n J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap'n J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out.
The football is back. Good morning, Hoodie. How are you today? With Jonathan Hood, I'm David Kaplan.
I'm great, buddy, because football is here. The Chicago Bears, when you see that first conversation with the media and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, that means it's game on.
Game on, baby. Yeah. Let's go. So the Bears have their guys all there. They've got their rookies all signed. There's no drama. And it looks like they're going to be above the 85% vaccination threshold. In fact, one veteran player said, hey, man, if that's what it takes to win, let's go. I'll do whatever it takes. I just want to win here. While Ron Rivera, who's recovering from cancer, by the way, and is immunocompromised, is frustrated. His team is below 50%. So,
well, the hope is that all teams are able to get over that threshold, because you want to see the best against the best. I know people have principles, but always remember there's consequences for you not taking the vaccine from some businesses, and definitely the business of the National Football League.
So Andy Dalton is QB1, but obviously, even Matt said, the whole city is on fire about Justin Fields, and deservedly so. This is not a kid coming from North Dakota State. Again, Trey Lance may turn out to be the greatest player ever. He's from Ohio State. Everyone watched him get 6 touchdowns against Clemson. He's a quality human. He's got aptitude off the charts. He tested number one in the mental proficiency test of 6,500. Like, he's got the whole package.
Yeah, not only that, he's smart.
Very smart. And when they said to him, are you prepared for Chicago and the pressure here? It's different. He goes, I went to Georgia and Ohio State. I'm built for this.
Yes.
Which I loved.
Which is great. However, Andy Dalton, who is QB1, mm-hmm. wants to make sure that Justin Fields' ass is pinned to the bench all season long,
correct,
if possible.
Correct.
Now, I think that you and I, and again, as we go through the ebb and flow of this preseason and training camp, I think that we are of the opinion that the offensive weapons are sound. Is it sound enough for you to be able to be the best in the NFC North? Is it good enough for you to be able to make a run in the playoffs? I don't know. But Andy Dalton, based on his resume, we know that there's a ceiling to his success. Doesn't mean that he's a bum. Doesn't mean that he's great. But he's somewhere in between. In between does not get you to the trophy.
Correct.
But in between can get you to a level where it's good enough to be able to, at some point, hand the keys to Justin Fields. But it's Andy Dalton's show, and he'll let you know it, for sure.
So Matt Nagy was asked yesterday, he and Ryan Pace did an in-person media session. They're allowing 25 members of the media in there. And this was the first time since pre-pandemic that they have spoken in person, not on a Zoom. And media members, every one of them, are all vaccinated. So is Pace, so is Nagy. And he was asked, this Mike Berman from NBC5 was there among that group. What if Justin's great?
Matt, you're saying there's going to be plenty of reps for Justin Fields in preseason games. What if he goes out and just crushes it? Is there anything he...
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Could he convince you, if he's getting lots of reps and playing really well, could he convince you he's the right guy to start, or is that him?
There's for Justin, for Andy, for Nick, their job is to go into this thing and do exactly what you just said, is just dominate. And then for all of us to make it as hard as you possibly can at every position. And so we don't even get into that part of it. We just say, listen, go play ball, be the best you can be. And trust me, just like everybody in here in our city, I want Justin Fields to be electric. That's what we all want. But, you know, for us, we're worried about today. That's all we can. And y'all saw that Giannis, that little quote he said. I mean, that's going up in all four of my kids' bedrooms. Because we can't worry about the past, you can't worry about the future, we're going to worry about right now, today. That's all we can do. So that kind of falls into what you're asking.
And the here and now is Andy Dalton.
Correct.
This is not the controversy that you and I are used to covering the Bears over the years.
Correct.
It was always a quarterback battle going back to the late 70s. There was always a battle that would take place.
But there was never one that was, you looked and went, okay, he's a stud. Like, you never had that feeling.
Well, that's the truth, isn't it?
Right? Like, you hoped. Like, Jim McMahon could never stay healthy.
Right.
He was good. He wasn't elite.
That's true.
You had Tom Zach and Steve Fuller and Jim Harbaugh and Eric Kramer, and I can keep naming them. Even when Mitch got drafted, there was doubt. This is the first time we've had a guy on the roster where we all believe he's going to be the guy. He may not be. But we believe he's going to be.
You should just walk off now, because that's going to be the best point that you're going to make today.
Thank you.
Because it's so true, right?
Right.
Over the years, we'd be wringing our hands over like quarterback controversies, and it's kind of like, yeah, not really, right?
Like even last year, Hoodie, we're doing the show, and it's, well, is it Foles or Trubisky? You and I said it'd be Trubisky. Others said it'd be Foles, and in the end, it really didn't freaking matter.
I don't know. I mean, I really like this Orton over Grossman.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, it's kind of the same.
Same.
I don't know. This Walsh, I think he's a little bit better than this Kramer. I don't know, Kip.
What?
I don't know, Kip. This Tomczak. I mean, McMahon's always got the injuries, but this Tomczak, he's got Moxie. I like him.
What? The opening drive is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com.
I kind of like this brother they got in there, Evans. I mean, nothing against Avellini, but Evans has got the strong arm. I like what I see there. What do you think, Cap?
I'm more of a Bobby Douglas guy.
Bobby's good, but this Concannon, though, he's got a good arm. I mean, for years, it's just like us arguing over nonsense. But you are so right, though. The difference between all of those quarterback battles that we've read about and covered over the years is different than this, because they're saying that Andy Dalton's the guy, but you know, again, dynamic, based on what I saw in college, Fields could really be the guy for
yes.
the long term.
Yes.
Yeah, it's different.
For the first time.
Yeah.
Like, even when Mitch was drafted, you hoped, oh, I hope this guy knows what he's doing, Pace. I hope Trubisky's the guy. But there wasn't, I can't wait to see that guy. That's where we're at with Justin Fields.
I don't know, Cap, this whole Cade McClown. I mean, he doesn't have what Jim Miller got. Miller's good in the pocket. He's a solid arm.
What?
Not really. No, he does.
Right.
This Cordell Stewart running this, you know, playground football, Cap. I don't know. I like this Chad Hutchinson. What?
Here's Matt Nagy on what he's seen from the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton.
The number one thing that I see is the anticipatory throws. So in the passing game, Andy has all the leadership stuff. He has the stuff that you look for where you break a huddle, it's a little sloppy, it doesn't go right. He gets everybody back in, says, no, do it again, let's go. You do this, you do that, let's roll. He has that. That's easy. The football part that I see is his timing pre-snap of when he calls, you know, with motion shifts, adjustments, stuff like that. But then when the play's going, anticipatory throws, man, those wideouts know that ball is coming. Regardless of the coverage, he knows where to go, and you better get your head around.
So
I agree.
If he – again, I talked to someone in Cincinnati yesterday who covered him and worked with Andy. They did a show together. Not Tom.
What? Jeff, I think it was in Brennan.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
I'm telling you this, Andy Dalton.
How about that, doctor?
Doctor.
No, it was not Tom.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
He said, Andy, he goes, you're going to watch.
Fuck it down!
You're going to watch Andy, and you go, okay, he's better than I give him credit for. He's obviously not the answer. He said, you'll be okay until Fields is ready. You'll be competent. He'll be a pro. He will never say anything that will ruffle anyone's feathers. He will give you stock answers. He's very vanilla. But he said he'll know your offense. Your teammate, your players will love playing with him. But it's just he's not the guy.
How about that, doctor?
What else did Lance McAllister say?
That was about it.
Okay. Gotcha. Yes, strike three. And that was about it.
That's about it.
All right, that's fine.
So,
well, that's you know, that's a fair assessment. But you know why? We can look at the wins and losses of Andy Dalton and know that, again, there's a ceiling right there. Again, it doesn't. People will look at what he was and was not with the Cowboys and say, oh, you don't want that. Well, he was injured, and he just. He was a backup. He had no idea he'd be pressed in the service after the Prescott injury.
Right.
But, I mean, he'll keep you in ball games. But we know where the future is. And it's going to be hard to hold the crowd back. You got both hands up. Nagy and Pace have their hands up.
Nothing to see
holding
here.
Holding the crowd back. Right. Like the wave of fans like, no, wait, he's going to play. I understand the excitement, though. I totally get it.
Like that scene in Animal House when Kevin Bacon gets run over by everybody.
Yes.
Right. Or Leslie Nielsen in Naked Gun. They're going, nothing to see here.
Nope.
Nothing to see here.
Nope.
Actually, there is. So how will Matt Nagy use the preseason with Justin Fields? That's a very intriguing topic. We'll discuss that next.
Take that.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bah, bah,
bah, bah, bah. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
You're drinking your morning coffee. We will be in Vernon Hills tomorrow morning, 7 to 10, at the Buttermilk Cafe. That's where people will be parking and taking the shuttles to go to Bears training camp, the 1,000 fans they allow in each day. So we would love to see you there. Get your perspective on the season. Say hello to you. Share a bite at a great breakfast place. Danny said their menu is sensational. Like his sister said, oh, we go there as a family all the time. That place is awesome. So we got to get there. You have to come a little farther than me. I would think you want to leave probably about 15 minutes from now. And we'll have breakfast together.
It's unbelievable.
That'll be nice.
Yes, it will be. Again, 7 to 10, we'll be there. Not just tomorrow. We have several appearances there in that same location.
Correct.
Carmen Yurko also will be broadcasting from there as well. So we got your Bears training camp covered. From Vernon Hills.
Looking forward to it, and I'm sure we'll get some fans that will weigh in after they watch practice, be our eyes and ears, since you and I are not allowed.
No, they don't like our kind in there.
We're not allowed.
Yeah.
So, yep, absolutely.
And,
so,
and when we say our kind, we mean our morning show kind.
Correct.
Or someone with a microphone.
That is correct.
That's on fire every morning.
That is correct.
So I understand.
So... we will be out there tomorrow morning at 7. Hope you will. We'll be there early, so I hope you will come by and say hi as you head over to practice, which starts at 8:10 each day. So crazy. They get one practice before it gets warm,
man,
and then they just have their meetings and their treatments, and that's it. And I remember talking to Jimbo Covert, and he turned to some of the guys that are – this is 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that were playing, he goes, hey, how's – your vacation you guys are taking.
Huh? Vacation?
What do you mean? They said, you guys have one practice, and Lovey doesn't want you to practice. This was at the end of Lovey, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going back, what, 8 years? He said, wait a minute. You guys practice at 8 a.m. because it can't be too hot for you, and you're done for the day. He said, we would go with Ditka sometimes three in a day, certainly two, both with full pads, pounding on each other,
right.
And you guys are worried it's going to be too hard out there. It's hot.
Those players back then have paved the way for the players today to have a one hard practice and a lot of film.
A lot of film.
They should, you know, they should give back and give money to those players that were toiling in the sun. They should.
Correct.
The pounding. With pads, by the way.
Yes.
With pads.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Correct. Nutcracker drills and all of that.
Oklahoma drills. Oh, man.
All of it.
I told you the Oklahoma drill story, right? Have I told you that?
No.
So Danny's involved in this. I'm doing an Oklahoma drill with Anthony Adams.
Oh, God.
Me against him. Danny's the
ball. Who's bigger?
He was.
Okay.
At the time.
So this is playing size.
Yes.
Anthony.
Danny's the one with the football. He's running the football. It's me against him. Brother, let me tell you something. I think I have some strength, but there's nothing like football strength. Anthony Adams, Danny, you recall this, right?
I remember it vividly.
Okay, so he's picking me up off the ground.
Wow.
Me! He's picking me up off the ground.
And you are a large man.
And Danny's going through there, boom, just like that. No shot. I had no shot against Spice Adams. Don't let the smooth taste and all the jokes fool you. Spice Adams is a beast, man.
And he's an amazing athlete. He can do the splits at his size.
Yes.
And I believe that he could dunk a basketball.
That is correct.
I've seen him grab the rim easily.
That is correct. Now, my son was playing football in college at 299. He goes, 299.8. I never got to 300.
Mm-hmm.
And he went up in a camp against this kid from a local high school. Turned out to be Jack Conklin, a first round pick out of Michigan State.
Man.
And he's like, oh my God, I thought I was big and strong. He goes, I got nothing compared to that guy.
Danny, he never got through the line so quickly. So I'm trying.
Danny's squirting through.
I was like, if football is this easy, I should have played.
I mean, I'm trying to block Adams, right? I mean, it's like, I got you, Spice. I got you. He's all right, man. All right, dog. All right, dog. Let's go. And Danny says, hi. And he picks me up off the ground. And Danny just went right through there like hot grease, right through the skillet, man. It was amazing.
That's funny.
I'm like, dude, you're a whole different level of strength. His big guy strength, and then there's football strength.
Correct.
I failed.
Two different levels.
I failed.
So Matt Nagy was also asked about the preseason. It's been an issue when he got here. He didn't want to play Mitch. He didn't want to play starters, and he took some heat for it. And then pre-pandemic, he said, hey, in the 2020 preseason, I'm going to play our guys. Well, then there was no preseason, and we had the pandemic, and everything changed. So now that you have a team that's going to be at least at, if not above, the protocol for vaccines, you will have preseason games. Well, how will you use the preseason with Justin Fields?
As you all know, I've gone kind of back and forth. The 1 year was very more conservative. Then I was going to be more aggressive. It didn't happen. My mindset has shifted more towards the aggressiveness this year with preseason. I mean, one thing I took away from all of this is that, you know, being able to evaluate players. The preseason is real. You have real tackling. You have real situations. It's hard in these other times in the offseason to evaluate talent. So I think right now, too, if our definition of where we're at right now is competition, which was what we believe, and the only way to sort that competition out is being able to do that in preseason games. So that's everybody. When you get specifically to the quarterback and to Justin, again, we're excited to see what he can do in real situations. And that's a part of the evaluation process that you all keep hearing me talk about, is we'll know and we'll see it. And it's, you know, so in preseason, he's going to get a healthy amount of reps and we're going to be able to see what he can do. But at the same point in time, Andy needs that too. You know, this is his first time here in this offense and working with these players and timing. So we got to be delicate with the balance of how we do it. But there's going to be plenty of reps to go around for those guys.
For clarification on him, you have him as the number two quarterback.
Who's that?
Justin.
Yes.
If your goal is to avoid having to rush him in, why do you have him at two instead of three?
Why do we have him at two versus, well, he'll get more reps. It's more for reps. Yeah.
Okay, a couple of things here with this, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you know, you usually don't get a coach that's getting an opportunity to be a head coach for the first time evolve in the job at the same time. Here's what I mean. You remember a few years ago where they put Trubisky on ice. Don't play any preseason games like he was Tom freaking Brady.
Correct.
Like he was Aaron Rodgers. Oh, you know, you don't have to play. And people were outraged. And some were just like, this is stupid. Why is this preseason games? Why does it matter? Well, my stance on that always, especially that third preseason game that against Kansas City, where in which Mitch was supposed to play, mm-hmm. and they took a, I thought, well, football players are used to routine, and they want to have a feel of the game. Even though if it's preseason, even if it's just a series or two, I felt that Mitch should have played. And it's almost like Matt was hiding Trubisky. Like, you know what, he doesn't need to play, he's ready. Well, you hear him in that cut now. It sounds like we're going to see Justin play in the preseason.
And a significant amount.
And rightfully so.
Correct. And let's not forget.
But he evolved in the job, though, because remember, he wouldn't play Mitch in the preseason.
So the question was, did he not want to play Mitch because he knew he sucked and didn't want to like short-circuit his season? Or was he simply trying to protect him? I think it's a combination of a whole bunch of factors. And then we saw Tom Brady out there for the Patriots.
Right.
Now, he didn't play 50 snaps, but he said, I have to have a feel for speed and getting hit. The first time I get hit, that's a good thing because I've got to be back to game speed. We didn't have that, and now we do.
It is. I would love for you or me to be able to have a beer with Matt and ask him, hey, man, let me ask you a question. This whole thing of not playing Trubisky in the preseason, was he just not ready? Nah, he wasn't ready. That's probably what he would
say. Right.
Like, either it wasn't, because it wasn't about injury cap, because anybody, whether you're a lineman, whether you're special teams, offense, you just want to see what it looks like against live competition. Now, it might be against mechanics that will be out of the league, that won't even play like in the regular season, or special teams guys, but you want to have a little bit of a feel.
So a friend of Matt's said to me this summer, he said, look, Matt loves Mitch the guy.
Sure.
He loves Mitch's work ethic. He said Mitch was the first guy in the building and the last guy to leave. He tried everything. Virtual reality room that they have where it simulates you getting a pass rush in your face or a defender closing on a pass route. He said they tried everything, and so did Mitch. He just wasn't good enough. His skill set and Matt's offense, it just, in the end, he ain't good enough. That's it. We're moving on.
So when we play the Bills, when the Bears play the Bills, we will get Trubisky against Fields.
That's probably accurate. Although that is
awesome.
That's the third preseason game?
That's right.
Is that right? Or the second? I think it's the second. It's the second preseason game, which normally would be the third, but they've lopped one off the schedule. So you'll probably you'll see more Josh Allen than normal because that will be the dress rehearsal game. Because the last preseason game, they don't play the starters.
Oh, I see. You're saying because it's now three, now the second game
becomes the dress rehearsal game.
Yeah.
Okay. So you'll see more Josh Allen that game than normal.
Well, I want to see Mitch in the second half, in the third quarter, and I want to see him against Justin. Let's go.
Let's go.
That's entertaining.
That would be great. And we'll be at the fantasy football convention that day, too.
Oh, it's a noon kick. Yeesh.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a noon kick. And keep our eyes on that. See, Cap, that's going to be entertaining. I know it's a preseason game, but just the idea that both quarterbacks will take on one another, more than likely in the third or fourth quarter, I want to see that.
It'd be a lot of fun.
I see. So the last one against the Titans is kind of like the fourth one where it really doesn't matter.
Right, where nobody plays. You're like, who's that guy? Oh, he works for UPS. He'll be back there next week.
Quick evaluation, man. Quick evaluation with the three. Hey, we've heard for years, you don't need four preseason games. All right. All right, let's see. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's see what happens.
Let's get it on. What is the goal for this season? Here's Matt Nagy.
So what I'm doing personally for myself and what our message is this year for our team is about being in the moment right now. And so I can get to that a million different ways by my message with the team. But what I mean is, you're right. In 18, there was no one knew what they didn't know. And we had some success. We made it to the playoffs. Won a division, came in the next year, like you said, had some higher expectations, didn't do well. And so every year that goes by, well, and then you start worrying about, well, how's it going to go this year? If we just do what we're supposed to do right now and not worry about what happened in the past, let's not worry about what could happen in the future, then I think with what we've built here, from Ryan bringing in the type of players that we have, whether it's physically or mentally, bringing this group together, building this culture, I think we're in a really good place right now to handle a lot of different things. Success, and failure. And with that now we have, we feel really good that, hey, let's go play games, let's go win football games, and just let the chips fall where they may. But we're not focused about 18-12-4 won the North, or last year 8-8 lost in the playoffs, the year before that 8-8. This is completely new for us, and we have a great opportunity. We feel like we have a great roster and good people, and now it's our job as coaches to develop them.
You think they have enough offensive weapons?
That depends. Are we going to stay wedded to the running game? Or is that offensive line going to stay intact? Like last year, when you lose...
Tariq Cohen.
No. James Daniels.
Yeah.
That was
for the offensive
line. That's probably their most talented offensive lineman. When I listened to Olin Kreutz, who knows more about offensive line play than any human alive,
yeah,
and he said that guy is a star. That's how good he's going to be. Well, they lost him to a torn pectoral muscle. He was done for the year. If you tell me that this group is going to pretty much play the majority of the games, I think they have a chance to be pretty decent offensively.
Yeah, I'm concerned a little bit about the wide receivers, like Komet being able to help offensively, and then you have Allen Robinson, Mooney taking a step. I just want to know who's the third wide receiver that will develop, that will emerge with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And you get two wide receivers and like one tight end or two tight ends. Okay, well, is there a third wide receiver that we're missing here that if, say, Allen is double teamed, there's Mooney, but who else? Now, there's no more Miller, and that's fine.
Marquise Goodwin?
Let's see.
I mean, he can fly.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a guy that tried out for the Olympics. He can flat out fly.
That's my concern. I want to see what it looks like offensively.
Up next, he's back.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at CapJHood.
J-Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
The 1-1 the count. The pitch. Lopez lines into left. Eloy playing pretty shallow. They're going to try to score Taylor. He should be out by a mile, and he is. Eloy playing very shallow against that left-handed batter. And I'm actually a little surprised Vance Wilson sent him. Eloy's made two great defensive plays tonight. 3-1, lined out toward left center. Jimenez made a shoestring catch. What a play. Throw to second, not in time. Almost turned two. Eloy Jimenez has been a gold glover out there tonight. He stayed on his feet somehow. Angle the tying run, Abreu the go-ahead run. The 0-1, hit in the air. Tower fly. It's going to go. Eloy Jimenez, I think in the fountain in left center. Whoa, baby.
Oh, baby, and you heard it right here on your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000, and the ESPN Network.
Ah.
White Sox Network.
Yes, it is. Ah, now that's a call.
How about that?
Take that.
Take that.
That's excitement right there. You know what that is? That's excitement, and that also saved the game because it was looking like, oh, God.
Another loss to the Royals.
Another limp lumber, you know, stagnant offensively, and then there's Eloy coming through. That's what's been missing.
So I had a handful of plays yesterday that I bet. I had over 5.5 strikeouts, Dylan Cease, winner. I had the White Sox, turns out to be a winner, and then I bet the Indians because Cal Quantrill's been phenomenal. Yeah, he gave up one run in 6 innings and the freaking bullpen gave it up. The Cardinals beat the Indians, but combined with the White Sox win, what are you, 9.5 up now? 9.5. So, and Robert's coming back. There'll be a couple of additions here by Friday in that bullpen. Look out.
Here we come.
Get a second baseman and you can win the World Series.
Well,
I'm just telling you.
I'm not sure about that, but what I am sure about is, once again, the White Sox showing that they have interchangeable parts. You put someone in there, and you never know who's going to come through. Whether it's Andrew Vaughn, whether it's Sheets, whoever. It's good to be able to see the White Sox be able to have people that have been able to be unsung heroes helping the White Sox.
Sidebar, may I approach?
Sure.
That play that Andrew Vaughn didn't make in right field.
Yeah.
I was thinking of you as soon as the ball clanked off his glove. I went, all right, I'm probably not going to win either of my plays. You're going to get Cease out of the game too soon. And Hoodie is not going to be happy, nor my brother, with Andrew Vaughn in right field. And now you're going to go, oh, God, wait a minute. What are we going to do here? He can't play that position. And then Aloy to the rescue.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, that opened the floodgates for two runs. And lately, offensively, I'm thinking, okay, can the Sox come back? You know, the thing that aggravates me the most in baseball is the 4- and 5-out inning.
Mm-hmm.
When you beat yourself, I hate that.
You can't give it. And the Royals are not going to the playoffs.
No.
But they have talented players.
Yeah.
They have some good pitching. Like, Brad Keller's a good pitcher. And you cannot continue to give major league, even the Arizona Diamondbacks, they're going to win 50-some times.
Yeah.
You can't give them 4 and 5 outs in an inning and expect to win.
I don't like that, but I'm glad that the Sox were able to overcome that. And so for Dylan Cease, as much as I had an issue with Keuchel from his last outing, Cease has to know, hey, man, you've got good stuff. He almost needs a mirror in that locker room to say, hey, look at that guy in the mirror. You have electric stuff when you're on, but you have to know it. We know it because it's got movement, right? But does Cease know it? And he showed it yesterday. I'll take that every day of the week, Cap. 6 innings pitched and 6 strikeouts, scattered 6 hits, a couple of runs. Keeps you in the ballgame.
He does. He's got electric stuff.
Yeah, he's got good stuff. Now, how about the babyface assassin here? What about Ray Lopez? Now, I was not a big fan of Ray Lopez as a starter. That was the best bet in Vegas. When Lopez had to start, like, oh, fade that, go to the other team.
Yes, correct.
Because, once again, his fastball was his strength and arrow. But the last couple of outings, pretty good, to the point where I think the Sox might be showcasing him. And if he gives you another nice outing here between now and the deadline, then it's like, okay, here's a guy here, an arm that you could use. Every team needs an arm. Lopez is not part of our future at all.
Unless
not to me.
Maybe as a bullpen piece. Maybe, because he throws hard.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking last night. Dylan Cease, as you said, 6 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, just 2 earned, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, 89 pitches, 57 for strike.
I like what I saw there.
Lopez, he gets the win. He goes an inning. He walks 1. He strikes out 1. Michael Kopech comes in, strikes out all 3 hitters. And then Liam Hendricks, he gets 1K, goes 1 perfect inning, 14 pitches, 10 of those for strike. Boy, that guy's always around the strike zone. And bam! White Sox win. That was really, really special to see.
Now, back to my question about Ray Lopez, now that you've read the box score. Now, I asked you, do you think that he could be a trade chip if they continue to showcase him? I say yes.
When you say trade chip,
yeah,
centerpiece or just a throw-in?
Throw-in with it, whatever else you want to do. Because, as you mentioned, you need a new second baseman, right?
Yes.
You need that as bad as a hobo needs a sandwich. So you need a second baseman. You're not going through, if you can help it, with Mendick and Garcia.
Okay, so here's how I'd answer you.
Okay.
If you're going to go out and try and add on, like, a real quality reliever, not just another team's version of Reynaldo Lopez, then I probably would keep him. If you're telling me you can go get, like yesterday, the Astros got Kendall Graveman,
sure,
who's really good, from the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go add on that type of guy, I keep hearing that the White Sox are trying to close a deal with the Cubs for Ryan Tepera. He'd be an upgrade.
That's fine. I'm just saying that with Ray Lopez,
I don't think he's a huge piece of a deal.
You know what that is, though. So if you can move him along, let him go. You know what that is. I mean, you're getting some fortune now, but you know what that
okay.
is.
Okay, would you consider Reynaldo Lopez a piece if you were the Diamondbacks, the Pirates, the Cubs, the Twins, whoever it is, mm-hmm, that's not going to the playoffs? Would you say, I'll take a shot at that guy, he throws 97? Would you bring him in to that team, or knowing what you know, no?
I would do it because I always think that I can fix. This is what general managers and coaches and managers also say. They see the good tape and they say, we could fix that. He's flying open, or I could fix that. That's what you sell to another general manager. All right, you know that Ray Lopez, especially as a starter, that's not his future. We saw it.
But as I look at that box score, you went from Dylan Cease to another hard thrower to Kopech to Hendricks. Like,
Kopech is a future starter for the ball club next year.
Correct. But Reynaldo Lopez, he played a key role in that game last night.
You know what? That's good enough. That's good for the LinkedIn resume to push him off to somewhere else. I just know that in a playoff situation, I don't know if I could trust him. We need two relievers, the Sox.
To add on?
Yeah, if you can.
Yeah, then he probably would be someone that a team would go, we'll take a shot on him as a starter.
Maybe. A bad team could use him. Maybe. Right. And if he flourishes, that's fine. I'm trying to win the World Series. So if that means getting rid of guys that you kind of think maybe can get open the door, I ain't got time for that. Let's go. And that doesn't mean Kopech, by the way. He stays.
Correct. Told you there was somebody who would know me, look, they tried to make a deal for Adam Frazier, Richard Rodriguez, and Jacob Stallings, all from the Pirates.
Yeah.
And it was either we get Andrew Vaughn or we get Michael Kopech. And Rick said, yeah, thanks. See ya. Because you ain't getting that for Ronaldo Lopez.
No, I understand. So I look at it, Cap, as, you know, they just have to be able to continue to stay. They're getting healthier, but stay healthy and continue the momentum. I don't care who they're playing. I just want them to be able to play good baseball, clean baseball, and continue to be clutch. That's what's led it. It's been starting pitching and just clutch hitting from unsung heroes. And that really adds up to a charm ball club because I know what that looks like from 2016.
Yep, or 2005.
Yeah.
So they win 5-3. And we're down to 48 hours or so. 48 hours.
Time's ticking. I wonder, you gave me the backdrop of some of the general managers, what they're asking for. I'm sure they're asking for Kopech. I'm sure they're asking for others. But, man, it's got to be others from the minor league system. Maybe not your best, but something that they can give away to trade. The Sox.
Ronaldo Lopez, you might be right. Could be a piece.
Could. Not the centerpiece, but just a piece.
A piece.
Yeah.
Correct. 312-332-3776. What did you see last night? How about Aloy being in the field? And on the north side of town, will we see a trade today? They played a fun game on Waddle and Sylvie. Over, under 2.5 times they played the breaking news sounder yesterday. I think it went under.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if we will have any breaking news while we're on the air today.
Hopefully.
We'll discuss what's on tap for the Cubbies next.
Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Every time I think I'm eating something the way I'm supposed to eat it, Danny says, no, you got to do it that way. Like every day. It's an adjustment.
Yep. Not for me.
You just do you.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I read something. I go with it. At times, I will ask Danny when I'm in the grocery store for some advice. And then you just try to do the best you can.
That's what I do. Try to do the best I can.
That's all you can do, man.
I listen to his podcast. I listen to different podcasts about food. I go on these YouTube channels to cook. I love cooking. Love it.
I just, you know why? Because you're Mr. Food.
I am.
Mr. Food.
Remember that guy?
That's who you are.
So we've talked about the White Sox. You heard the game here on your home for the White Sox. Now we have the trade deadline on the other side of town. We're not talking about adding on. We're talking about Chris Bryant leaving, Anthony Rizzo leaving, Javi Baez maybe leaving, Ryan Tepera maybe leaving. We're talking about the diamond, where we're going to look around and not understand who's at what position, maybe after Friday.
Danny, I just stumped. I just stumped Cap. I said, if Rizzo gets traded, who's your first baseman? I said Contreras.
No, you can't take him away from Cap. Maybe to finish out the year. I mean, what are they really playing for? Let's ease up his knees and give him a rest on the workload.
Stretch him out a little bit.
He does not. I asked him, how would you feel if they said, we're going to play it 2 days a week in the outfield to get it off your knees? He said, no, thanks. I'm a catcher.
You saw the experiment a few years ago in right field when the Cubs ran out of players under Madden, right?
Right. Now, he actually, in 2016, played like, Danny can look up the number, I want to say it was 26 games in left field.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember that.
So
I was just trying to stretch him out here for the rest of the season and then try to figure out who your first baseman is for the future.
So Anthony Rizzo was on our show yesterday. And this is a team that has no idea who's going to be there after 3 o'clock Friday. Is Rizzo actually going to be a Boston Red Sox first baseman? Is Baez going to the Mets? He was on a podcast in Spanish and said, oh, I'll go to the Mets and I'll play second base because I want to play with my guy Lindor at short. People were like, really? You just said you'd go to the Mets? Is that some breaking news there?
These athletes. Do you understand? Like, we could, someone could tell us the information. You're not hiding it in Spanish.
Correct. Correct.
What is that?
So here is Riz on the clubhouse feeling.
It's weird. It's definitely weird. It's not like we're going in talking about who we're getting, which we've done for the last 5 years. So, it's a different feeling that, but who knows what's going to happen. It's so out of our control that, you know, the one thing I do know is I know absolutely nothing when it comes to all this stuff. So
they don't call you and say, hey, we're going to call Mark, your agent. Well, let's talk one more time. They don't keep you apprised of anything. It's simply a business transaction.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's the way it is right now, and that's all right. That's what it is, and I'm just grateful to be able to be playing baseball.
Mm-hmm. So
makes sense.
And I've talked to different people close to him. Mm-hmm. They've all said the same thing, dude. People out there think, well, we call him and he's Anthony Rizzo, and we let him know we're having it. No, it is a business transaction. We pay him $16.5 million. He hit a homer for the third straight day, which we talked about with him yesterday.
Yep.
And that's it. And he's going to get a phone call if he gets traded. Hey, thank you for everything. We've traded you to X team. That's it.
Cap, how disappointed will you be as a Cubs fan if the Cubs do very little as far as moving some of these big ticket items, a Bryant, a Rizzo?
I'll maybe be very disappointed.
If they try to put a deal out there and they get nothing. Because ultimately now the seasoning is meaningless anyway. You're, 50-52. So the season's done anyway, but then you can't move the people that you want to. How will you be feeling Monday?
Not good, because I've resigned myself to the fact there's massive change coming. But here's a worst-case scenario. What if they do very little by Friday? And Jed then comes on with us on Monday. We're going to have, by the way, Rick Hahn joins us on Monday at 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. 9:15, and Jed Hoyer at 8:15.
Yes.
So we will have a breakdown with both guys Monday morning on what transpired at the trade deadline. If they do very little, they go, all right, we got this minor leaguer for Jock Peterson, and we got this minor leaguer for Andrew Chafin, and we traded Ryan Tepera. But all the big ticket guys are all still there. And then they offer them a qualifying offer in the fall. So they guarantee to get a draft pick back if they sign somewhere else. What if those guys test the market and go, yeah, I don't really like the market this year, so I am going to take the qualifying offer. And all of a sudden, you've got the same conundrum next year because you got all these guys on a one-year deal again. You're effed before it starts.
Now you're the Blackhawks.
Right.
Because Taves and Kane, I'm sure they were trying to move them. Like, nah, we like Chicago. Remember we talked about
Kane,
that?
But Taves, maybe.
Taves. It's like, but they didn't want to leave.
Right.
That was the whole thing. At the deadline 2 years ago, I think that was a talking point.
Yeah, about Duncan Keith, yes, and different guys.
Yeah, they didn't want to. So that would be the worst, right? We come in here Monday and nothing's happened.
Correct.
Or nothing substantial has happened. That's not good for the Cubs.
Agreed.
Because now you're just standing still in quicksand. You're not doing anything. You're just like Rizzo and Bryant. I'm sure they're playing hard enough, but that's not what you want. You want to see change.
No.
You want to get back up there again.
When he said to us right there on that cut, yeah, it's weird to come in there. We've always been adding on for the last 5 years, and I've heard nothing. It's a business transaction. That's it. Shot or no shot is in 2 minutes. Take that.